The aim of today was to sort of be bringing us all up to speed. You see, the dilemma is we had a fantastic church weekend. We took 90 people away. We had a fantastic church weekend, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right. And we took 90 people away, and it was brilliant. You know, Josh did all his team game stuff, and it was fantastic. And we were looking at the Father Heart of God and the challenge of the vision. We had breakout groups. And, you know, it was a really good time, and there was a real sort of sense of coming together. And then I've been aware, your heart seems to change a bit when you do this pastor thing, that there's a potential then for people who weren't on it to think, yeah, well, that was right for you, but, you know, what about us like? And there's also the sense that coming back, it's like, well, that was great, but what do we do now? You know, there's always that sense. So I thought it'd be good to, from this week, leave the Mark series for a while, because we were heading towards basically having the crucifixion just before Christmas. And I know we're a very free church. We're not bound by that. But that was just getting a bit too much. So we've parked Mark. We've packed Mac, to use, my true accent. And we're going to come back to that in January. We're going to finish Mark and then go on into some other stuff. And so it's an opportunity to deal with this stuff. And to the next week, Ruth's going to be talking on some Advent stuff. Then we've got the children's service. Then Gerwin's going to be bringing something. And then when we get into the new year, we'll go back into Mark. So this was really about bringing people up to speed with the, with the vision and that. I'm still minded to work through some of these, slides. So let's do that. Let's see. Right, if I can operate this. Here we go. Do I need to do anything here, mate? It is on, and I got the little button. Ah! I need to look. All right, so you were familiar with that, really, the idea in the vision is the sort of overall title is Repairer of Broken Walls, Restorer of Streets. The idea that God's given us a vision for this area to be used in being such a blessing to this area that things will become transformed over time. So that's from Isaiah 58. That's the sort of starting point. I still don't know. I'm a bit crazy on the whole, thing with the what's it. So the aim of the weekend was to give the vision of the next season to Woody. Here's the thing, trust the body of Christ, trust you guys to hear and to get it. I'm only sort of giving this over to you. You will all have the Holy Spirit, and it has to be a shared vision. And then get a vision for Woody to serve good days. I'm going to bash through this. If you want me to send you the whole lot, part of the challenge has been to get the 57 original slides down to enough for this morning, which I haven't managed. But I can send that out to you so you can have it. And it's probably not a bad idea because there's a lot of questions and stuff in there. So the weekend was three sessions. The heart of God. Where does all this come from? It comes from God's heart. Our wonderful Father God. His amazing heart of love is where all of this comes from. And the kingdom of God. And then the second bit was looking at the house of Woody. How do we get ready? How do we get ready for what the king wants to do among us? And then taking it to Cates. So, the heart of God, I was talking there about, and this is why I think this is worth revisiting. So I'm going to talk a bit today on the heart of God and Jesus, our example. And then I'm going to go off in a bit of a different direction. But it's sort of connected, so don't get too scared. The heart of God, there's an amazing verse in Genesis where, Adam's gone AWOL because they messed up. And the father's walking in the garden because he used to hang out with Adam and Eve and, sort of in the cool of the day and all that, the fellowship. And he says, "Where are you?" And it's one of the expressions in the scriptures that aches. He knows all things. He knows where he is. It's an expression of his heart. "Where are you, Adam?" And it's not even like, "Where are you physically?" It's, "Where are you spiritually? What's happened? The fellowship is broken. Where are you? Where's my mate?" If I can put it as flippantly as that. And I just want to, there's a number of scriptures that show this heart of God. This is where the Father's heart is. And one of them is this Hosea 11, 1-4. We looked at a few of these on the weekend, but I just want to share this one with you. Because this this gets over the vulnerability. See, when you love, you're vulnerable. You can't love from a place of steel hardness. You love from a place of softness. And love can be strong, but there's a vulnerability in love because it's never forcing. And the Father God says this about his people that have started to get into some really dodgy stuff. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burnt incense to images. And this is, you, any dads here, this will crease you. It's like a dad reminiscing, isn't it? It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love, and to them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. That blows my mind, that picture. Any dad will know that, where you just get your kid and you just lift them, and they're just there, and it's like, yeah, right, that's what it's all about right there. And that's what the Father is saying. His love for his people is that. So that's the Father heart of God, right? This is where it's all coming from. So, we had more time on the weekend. This is a very fast reflection. It's more like a drive-by. The Father's heart is tender towards you. He desires relationship with you. He's jealous for your love. And other sources of satisfaction, they will not satisfy. That's based on one of the other scriptures. You won't find it anywhere else. And if your heart has been moving away from the Father, then that's the call of the Father. I spent 3 years backslidden, worst period of my life. And I turned around and God was there waiting for me. And if your heart is hardening and moving away, I just encourage you, don't waste time. Just turn back to the Father. Just see that the Lord is just on your shoulder waiting for you. And just waiting for you to give the Father's love back to you. So, the heart, so this is where we start to get the base of the vision. The heart of God longs to reach out. The heart of God, Father, is always looking for more children. He's always looking for more people that he can shower his love on. He's greedy in that sense. He's never satisfied. Oh, that's enough in the kingdom. Full, no more, thank you. He wants more. He wants to bless more. He wants more people to know him as Father. So he wants to reach out. So how does he reach out? Well, primarily, the perfect expression of all this came in Jesus. I mean, there's a whole lot of Old Testament stuff, but Jesus! And any vision starts with the example of Jesus. Ties back into what my brother was saying here. He sent, he gave us a gift. There you are, mankind. There's my precious child. There you go. It's not easy for me. I'm giving you my son. So Jesus is our example. Now, this is where we start to move from. We receive the salvation through Jesus. We have a life of faith based in Christ. We walk with Christ. And then we start to realize, yeah, he's also our example. He's also saying, you know, freely you have received, freely give. Live like I did. And this is where this sort of, this change, I think, starts to come as you start to mature as a believer. You have to move from just getting everything from Jesus, saying, oh, I realize I'm supposed to walk like you. I'm supposed to follow you. So he's an example. Here's some things. He acted out of compassion. Wherever he went, the kingdom of God was breaking out through him. If you don't hear anything today, hear this, please. The Holy Spirit is within you, longing to touch people around you. The Holy Spirit is wanting to bless people around you because you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. So, you haven't really got to persuade God. God's already on the case there. He's already wanting to bless. Now, that's an encouragement. If that's getting heavy for you, just give that back to the Lord because that's not of the Lord. That is an encouragement that God wants to use you, okay? That's an encouragement because he trusts you and he's given you his Holy Spirit. He had a plan. He paid the price. The price has been paid. You don't need to preach on the cross, Chris, so stop right there. He prayed a lot. This is the challenge for us. He prayed a lot, Jesus did. Now, here's where it gets. Here's where the focus, again, the laser beam comes back to point at Woody. He gave authority, power, and instructions to the disciples. How did he do that? Well, a couple of ways. He gave us the Great Commission. Yeah? He said, Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is the word to us. If Jesus were here today, hey, guys, I got this message to you. That's it. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we have the authority of Christ. You have the authority on you of Jesus Christ. What did he command them? You look back into Scripture where he was sending his people out. He said when he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. Not to pray for the sick, but to heal the sick. So, this is what he was about. So when he said, do all that I've commanded you, this is what he was talking about. This is the legacy coming down. That I guess the church now is really, over the past few decades, been trying to rediscover. The Holy Spirit's been pointing this out to us again. That it's not about superstars. It's not about one-man ministries. It's about the whole body just doing what the disciples did, being open to the Holy Spirit and being used in the kingdom of God. And this is, in the new year, I want to go into this in a lot more detail. I want to really go into the whole healing thing and into the whole kingdom of God stuff and walking with that. So this is why this is the sort of backdrop to the vision thing. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit's given at Pentecost. And then there's two things about how we walk, how to walk as Jesus walked. Number one is the Holy Spirit. As you need the power of the Holy Spirit, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to you. But there's that sense of walking with the Holy Spirit, of listening to him, and of his power being available to do stuff. Stuff is good. Okay, so we want to do stuff, just to clarify that. So this is about the Holy Spirit being given, and the Lord says, if you're thirsty, and there's something in this about being thirsty for God, and saying, God, make me thirsty for your Holy Spirit. Don't be satisfied, you know, wherever you are. Say, God, there must be more, and I want more. And it's good to ask God for more of his Holy Spirit. It's good to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit. And then there's walking as Jesus walked. Number two was he spent time with the Father. You go back to prayer, but it's more than just prayer. It's not just shopping lists. It's listening to the Father. It's spending time in the Father's presence and getting instructions from the Father. And that's what Jesus did. It's not that complicated, is it? I don't know how he made it so incredibly complicated, really. It's not that complicated, is it? Fill with the Holy Spirit, listen to the Father, step out. Could close the service there, really, and just go and practice it. One day. Right. So, the ultimate, now, by ultimate, I guess that's not the best word. I struggle to get that. I guess final would probably be better, as you will see. Because it's the Church of Christ, which the enemy really didn't see coming. He didn't realize that by killing Jesus, he thought, I got one here. The whole amazing miracle of being born again and coming into Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. And now you've got billions of Jesuses. That was a plan that went badly wrong. And the billions are the Church of Christ. So we are the body of Christ and individually have the Holy Spirit and have the anointing and calling to do the work of Jesus. Are you all still with me? Are the rest of you with me as well? Most of you? Good, okay. We'll take questions after, but not in a public thing. Just see me. All right. Okay. If we had these chairs fitted with safety belts, this would be the time to put them on. Because the Church of Christ, which we can say, yeah, the church can do all this stuff, is us. I know that's not exactly a revelation, is it? But it's something we have to grapple with. We have to see that we are part of the body of Christ of Cardiff. We are placed in Cates. We have responsibility to show the love and the presence and the power of God in this area. It is us here. We can't subcontract this one out. We can't pay for someone else. This is our gig. This is us. And it's probably one of those things better embraced than but I have a bit of this, you know. We probably just need to get hold of it, and we're going to have a great adventure. We're going to have a lot of fun doing this, all right? So basically, there is no vision without you. Because if you think that by getting me as pastor and saying, yeah, you know, there you are, Chris, there's Kitties, off you go, let us know you get on. Come and see us every Christmas, give us a report. It's you. Leadership, I believe, one of the primary things is building bridges. And part of my vision is to build bridges, but people will be walking over them, and people already are. And we, step by step, Woody, you will be bringing the kingdom of God into this area and other parts of Cardiff, wherever you're planted. But I think we need a focus on this area. We need a lot of focus on one area to break through and show what our community can be affected by, people who really want to bless it for Jesus' sake. Okay. So there we are. You carry the kingdom individually. You are the good news that people are waiting for. So you need to think about how you reflect Christ in the community. And you need to think about how to bring healing. Now, this was the first of a whole load of breakout groups, which I don't want to get into today. We got a lot of information that came back from those breakout groups on the weekend, which we're going to collate. And then there'll be another part of the process, so we'll have to find other ways to get more people's sort of input into that. So that all of that, really, that's the sort of setup, if you like. Yeah, that's the setup. It comes from the Father, heart of God. Jesus, our example, to give us the Holy Spirit, right? And that is really important to get hold of, because this is not about programs. This is not about projects. I am happy. I am dead keen to set up really amazing projects. But that's not the primary thing. That's got to come out of a heart of waiting and seeking and all the rest of it. The primary thing is that individually we bless people. And the projects are ways of blessing people and giving us credibility, and people coming to us and saying, oh, you know, we honor what you're doing there, whatever those projects may be, and we want to know more. But here's a question. What is it about you guys? Why are you doing this? And there's some huge opportunities coming up. I don't know if you've seen the recent Cardiff Council budget. Well, it's not really a budget, it's a massacre. £124 million cuts over 3 years. I mean, Cardiff have been putting off for quite a while, so it's a day of reckoning. A lot of services are going to get cut. And I would not want to rush into any of this. You know, we need more people to join us. We've not got capacity, I think, at the moment. But there are opportunities for the church to serve. But it's going to be getting your hands dirty stuff. And then building up credibility in the community, saying, yeah. And it's serving from a place of love. It's not just about, you know, manipulation and stuff. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, so these are interesting days we live in. This is an interesting time. So basically, the Woody vision is simply love God, love each other, love the community. That's all there is to it. How hard can it be? That's just the thing of a lot of the stuff that's going on already. You know, I really want to honor that we're not starting from nowhere here. There's a lot of stuff going on already. Like I said, you couldn't look at it. I just wanted to get this one about welcoming. And Woody is good at welcoming. But as it says on a lot of school reports, good could do better. We can always improve our welcome. And I do believe that there's, and I know I'm banging on a bit, it's quite a bit, but there's a culture of welcome. There's something in having an openness and a welcoming heart and a sort of, yeah, come in and join us, that's in the culture, that becomes in the atmosphere, and is key in having the Holy Spirit moving among us. Welcoming the Holy Spirit. Because I don't think the Holy Spirit is too happy when you say, no, we're not having them, you know, don't welcome them, we really don't want them coming back. And then saying, oh, Holy Spirit, spirit of love, spirit of acceptance, would you just come in here and move among us? Is there not a disconnection in that? You're doing really well, guys. You're a very welcoming church. I just want to encourage you in that. We've all got responsibility. Just look around and say, oh, is anybody talking to them? I'll just go up. And I know. I mean, you know, introverts like myself, we do struggle with this, but I had to learn to be this stupid. It didn't happen naturally. And I get told off for that. So, just step out. Just imagine if you were there, what would you like? How would you like to be treated? You know, and if, here's the thing. This may come as a surprise, but I will scare some people. If I go up to someone who's really, really quiet, they're going to freak out. They're never going to come back. So they don't need the Chris Collinses. They need the quieter ones to come alongside them and say, oh, you're just like me, thank goodness. Well, I hope that bloke at the front doesn't come over. So you've all got that ability to welcome. I'm starting to bang on about that one, but it's like really get the basics nailed down. You know what I mean? Nailed down. Like, that's not even an issue anymore in Woody. They'll welcome you. You can go there, man. They will welcome you. Wouldn't that be great? It is. More so. Bless you. Hallelujah. Prayer. So these, I guess, are into the keys now. Prayer. Jesus prayed a lot. If he prayed a lot, we need a lot of prayer in this. We need a lot of prayer. And not just that way prayer, but this way prayer, listening prayer. And we need to find models. And this is why I have held back from saying, right, here's a prayer plan. The elders have agreed. We've all, blah, 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 there you go. Because we don't want, churches can do initiatives, but initiatives are good. We want stuff to come from within the church, you know, really part of our DNA. How are we going to pray more as a church? What are we going to start to do that we will keep doing? Where are we going to show persistence in prayer? I've been to two of the meetings that the African church do here. I think I'm just going to get their pastor to talk about prayer. It'll blow your mind. Yeah? Prayer. I don't know what I'm doing. Prayer. Persistence. Going after God. Seeking God with a godly heart. Wow. And it's really to start to get that into our DNA. And get a model that's right for us here. I'm not talking about, you know, imposing something else. Get a model that's right for us here. But prayer, we ain't going anywhere without prayer. We just won't have doors opened. We won't have the strength. My gosh. So we've got to get into prayer. So in the new year, I think, you know, we'd be looking at the different ways that we can be doing effective prayer as a group where we tend to. And then the final, so that's the Woody preparation. Like I say, this is a sort of love catays. This is what we're here for, guys. We're here to love catays. The question at the bottom is, what do you carry into the community? When you go out there, what do you carry? Now, the answer is the Holy Spirit. And the challenge to each of us is that what I show? Would people know that I'm carrying the Holy Spirit out there? Am I bringing love and the way that I deal with people and so on and so on? So it's quite a big one. I know that's not a question. You know, that's probably a sort of a life question. But again, it's that personal responsibility thing. And here's the thing. It's all about taking risks. We are going to make mistakes. We may make some quite big mistakes. That is the only way we are going to learn. One thing, I love a lot of things about Glenwood. Paul Francis at Glenwood, amazing fellowship. If you know about Glenwood, they started the speakeasy. They have loads of community stuff. They got schools ministries. They start so many ministries. I mean, they got about 50 on the staff team. It's a fantastic vision. It came from nowhere. But they had an attitude. And the attitude was, we will try stuff. And if it fails, we will learn from the failure. And then we will take that experience and we'll do something else with it. And right up the road from us is that thing working out. We've got to kick fear out. That whole fear of failure, that whole what if, what if, what if. And in order to deal with that, we've got to encourage one another. We must get into a place where we know that we are not if something's going to go wrong, it's not going to be Woody this guy's going to have a go at us. Woody will, we'll cover each other's backs. We'll say, well done for trying that. What can we learn through that? We have to get that attitude in you. This is all preparation stuff. This is why to me, this whole vision is quite a long-term thing, because there's a lot of preparation in terms of these things to get sorted. Otherwise, we'll try something, it'll go wrong, we'll turn in, we'll say, whose idea was that? I don't know, I wasn't there, blah, 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 blah. We need to get into that place. So I'll do that as the final one. There's a whole load after that, but they're all about the questions, and I don't want to go into that. What I do want to do, okay, so I need to be honest, but beware the critical spirit. Listen, yeah, just listen to what you're saying. Try and sort of say, you know, how would I feel about hearing this, you know? Bring things to the Lord. Build each other up. 16 times, no, I think it's 16 times. It says, love one another. That's about 6 times. It says, encourage one another. Put courage into one another. Criticism takes courage out. We're never told to do that. Put courage into another. We need to encourage. Oh, there we are, 6. Some idiot wrote them. Don't want to be asking what if, okay? So that's the whole thing of taking risks. And you will never know. And that just comes down to a tiny, tiny thing where you're in a cafe over here because I'm appreciating that most of your external culinary experiences now are taking place in cafes. There's some great catering outlets out there, I've got to say. Not just Cattywalks, number one noodle shop in Wales, but many, many others. And I am slowly working my way through, and I hope to do a chart out there. And I won't be claiming most of that on expenses, Deeks, all right? So that'll be, I'm prepared to put my hand in my pocket for that. Heal that cold. So what was I saying? Right, so you're in there, right? And you've been going there a while, and you're paying your money, and blah, blah, blah. And then you get a sense, you get a sense of asking something. Or maybe God makes it even easier for you. Maybe you're talking to the person in there, and they just say, oh, well, I'm a bit distracted at the moment. My daughter's just gone into hospital. And there's your moment. There's your moment right there, isn't it? You know, it's opened up in front of you. Do you say, oh, well, tell me about that. And do you know what? In the church, I got a week, we pray for healing. Sometimes it works out. Would you like me to, could I pray for you, Baba? Or do you go, oh, really? And I'll have noodles and pay now. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And I'm out of here. You will get opportunities. I encourage you to ask for them. And then you will have that moment. You will have that moment. And you will never know if God wants to use you in that moment unless you step into it. Clearly, this is basic, isn't it? Also, if you got a word, you will never know if it's right if you don't say it. It just doesn't work like that. And do you know what? It never gets easy. It gets easier, I think, as you get experience. It never gets easy. It's always a, do you know what, Lord? Oh, I don't know. But guys, that's the only way you learn. This is so simple stuff. This is not upfront stuff. This is not elder deacon stuff. This is not superstar. This is every believer has the Holy Spirit within them. I'd encourage you just to look for those opportunities and just say, I just got this sense or whatever. Work it out. It'll be fine. Right. Okay, now then, I'm going to use the last 10 minutes. Yesterday we had an interesting service, an induction service for me. We got, as you tend to do with this, when we do events and all that, because there was a lot to organize, we got sort of quite distracted by, like, you know, in the sort of details and all that. And then yesterday, I got actually round to read. Well, I'd read it before, but I hadn't really read it, you know what I mean? Reading what it is that we were going to actually be saying. I tell you what, let's hand these out. Do you want to take a load of those and give a load to them, guys? And Josh, do you want to... And just so you got sight, just so you got sight of one of these... Years ago. And when you get your copy, turn to the center. Okay, so go to the staples in the middle. Okay, everybody sorted it. Oh, hallelujah, we just got just talking about, you know, have a few more spares. Look at that, brilliant. We had them all left. You thought, oh, we've over-ordered on those just right. Go to the center. Now that's the heart of the thing. There was a worship service and there was, you know, stuff going on. And there was prayer for us, which was lovely. But here's the heart of it. And it was about a covenant, as in a marriage. An agreement, a strong agreement done in public and in the presence of God between myself and you guys, Woody. And it just struck me how in line with the vision this is, the words are. I mean, we don't write this stuff. We got given it. We had two choices of two. It was a really long one with lots of questions, or a short one. No brainer, really. We're Woody. What do you think we're going to do? So we went for it. And when I was actually reading it, I thought, do you know what? These are beautiful words, and they're really powerful. So, as a response in the sense to this, to the vision, and this is why this has been a challenge, because trying to put this a bit, sort of glue this lot together. But I wanted to get to this point, that we have a look through these. And for those of you who weren't there, the good news or the bad news, depending on when you look at it, is that the people who were there on your behalf have covenanted you into this agreement. So if you're part of Woody, this, you better have a copy of this, because this is what you signed up for. You know, it's like the meetings where you get given the jobs and nobody else wants. This is what we have entered into together in the sight of God. Okay? It's particularly on this, you know, on this right-hand page. We bring ourselves and the gifts we have and the covenant to serve. And we take responsibility for the people we are and the people we hope to be in Christ. We're called to be a prophetic people, working for justice, resisting violence, challenging the abuse of power. We're called to be an inclusive people, pulling down the walls of prejudice and welcoming the stranger. We're called to be a sacrificial people, risking uncertainty. I did not write this. That's awesome. Becoming vulnerable and reflecting the generosity of God. We're called to be a missionary people, demonstrating in word and action the redeeming love of God in the world. And we're called to be a worshiping people. And at the end, there's that prayer. And I just think that's very powerful and very beautiful. And I'd encourage you to keep a copy of this for that bit. Because to me, that's the values of our vision right there. And what I think it'd be nice to do now is to go into groups to pray into this. Just for 5 minutes. Just to get into groups, three or four, twos, whatever. And just take one of those. Maybe there's some one in particular. Don't try and do the whole lot. Just take one of those and say, ask God to do that in us. Yeah? And we'll just have that as a time response.